Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the GNSL Standing Selection Committee call on the 6th of September, 2017. On the call today, we have Susan Kawaguchi, Yolf Helsingis, Maxine Zoba, Renata Aquino-Rivera. We do have apologies from Rafik Demick, Alalaje, and Frederic Guillermo. From staff, we have Marika Koning, Emily Barabas, and myself, Michelle Desmiter. As a reminder, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and I'll turn the call over to Susan Kawaguchi.
Thank you, Michelle. Really appreciate your support. So are there any SOI updates that someone would like to make? Yolf. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a minor one. I actually have joined an individual member to the non-commercial constituency.
Oh, okay. Well, good. And welcome, Lori. And thanks for jumping off the RPM call. Very important call there, too. So if there's no other SOI updates, then I think what we're going to talk today about is the ATRT3 candidate poll. See those results, though I have not reviewed that. And then in the AOB, we'll talk about the GAC liaison selection, which we don't have to do quite yet, and the next SSC meeting. So, Emily or Melissa, can you present the results? It looks like we've gotten, you know, full response from everybody, which is good. Thank you all. And can we see the results? Do I have
people? Sure. Yes. Everyone can scroll through the documents. We also sent the link around in the email to a web page where you can also review it. And you may know that in this version, we've actually sorted the results based on the feedback or the responses to the poll questions. Having quickly looked through it, you know, there does seem consistency, at least with regards to the top four candidates, is something that you may want to consider. But we can indeed review through each of the questions if that's helpful. So for the first question that basically focused on whether the candidate was deemed to have sufficient and experience with the GNSO to be able to represent the GNSO as a GNSO-endorsed candidate. You see here that I think the results were, you know, several of them, you know, pretty close, but very clear, I think, for the it seems for the top four candidates that they were definitely deemed to be considered as a yes response in that regard. If you look underneath the colored labels, you can see how that was broken down. So you see clearly that for the first four, seven of you believe that a yes, they did sufficient knowledge and experience with the GNSO community. And then after that, you see the balance is getting a bit more divided, where it's more split between yes or no and don't know. And then the next question focused on skills, expertise, and attributes to do the work as outlined in the call for volunteers in relation to this. Again, here you see as well that I think the top four candidates here are relatively close. And then even, you know, in the later, the other ones as well, there is a bit more of a again, if you look further down, you see especially the top candidate, everyone agrees there that person has the necessary skills and expertise. Then when you go further down, you know, until number four, you see that there's a relatively strong support. And then after that, it becomes again more divided between those that say firmly yes and those that indicate that they say no or they don't know. A response to that question. And it may be worth noting here, I think that this is the only question where the top four is not the same. So again, that may be something that you want to factor in as you discuss the results. then looking at the next one, ranking them against the skills and experience. So it's really a ranking exercise going from 1 to 9 for people indicating their preference and top candidates. And again, I think you see here very clearly the with regards to the top 3 or top 4 candidates. And again, then it trails off a bit with the other. Or at least, you know, maybe there's agreement that those indeed do not belong in the top 4. And then the last question, I believe, relates to ranking the candidates in relation to the desired attribute. And here you see as well that the top 4, and I think even probably the whole list is actually identical as the previous ranking exercise. And so there, in that regard, seem to be a clear indication of preferences from the group, although it's worth noting that in this question, as well as the previous one, not everyone ranked the same candidates as their number 1 or number 2. So again, you can see that in the scoring, but this is based on the aggregate score of the ranking that was conducted. So that is in basically, I think, the overview. As Emily already pointed out in the chat, you're expected to recommend 3 primary candidates who would get an automatic seat on the A3, and with the possibility of recommending an additional 4 alternatives that the SO and AC can consider if they determine that additional slots need to be filled for diversity of the overall group. But again, there's no requirement either to nominate up to 7. It's a choice you have, but again, it's an assessment that the SSC needs to make. You know, how many candidates do you think should be put forward for GNSO endorsement? And Susan, if I may add one other thing as well, something that staff also provided together with the agenda is an overview of the previous appointments by the SSC and affiliation of those candidates that were endorsed, as there is a provision in the charter that talks about diversity of stakeholder appointments over the course of review team appointments. So that is also an aspect that you may want to factor in into your conversations. And again, it's information that staff has made available for your review and discussion.
Yeah, you know, when I was reviewing the candidates to fill out the poll, it's very heavy on NCUC and registry stakeholder group candidates. And then there's 2 unaffiliated, and there's 1 CSG or VC candidate. So and I guess there's 9 candidates in total, right? So only 2 of these won't be included in our list, but we do need to figure out the top 3. And it looks like the top 3 in this is Brian, which makes sense because he's very active in the community. I don't know Wolfgang. Stefan, I'm very familiar with too. But Stefan and Brian are both registry stakeholder group candidates. So I think that's one of the decisions we need to make, is how important is it to look at gender diversity, geographical diversity, and then also diversity among the SGs and Cs. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Marika.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. This is Marika. I just wanted to emphasize one point that I made before and in the chat as well. You know, even though you have 9 and you can nominate up to 7, you don't have to. I mean, I do believe there's an expectation that whoever you put forward to be endorsed, whether as a primary three or a potential four alternate, are expected to have met the requirements as a result of your evaluation. So even though indeed you may focus on taking out two, you may also need to look at, okay, those that fall in the alternate category, did they meet sufficiently the task of meeting the requirements and the skills to be be put forward. So again, there's no requirement to put up seven names. You have the option to do that.
Okay. Yeah. That, I mean, though I do think it was very helpful in the SSR2 team once Emily Taylor had to step aside that we had candidates that we'd already reviewed and just it made that process more simple. So, Renata.
Thank you, Susan. Renata here. I hope you can hear me okay. Mm-hmm. I am a bit concerned about gender balance in this selection. The first four candidates, we have top three male candidates, then we have one female candidate, but then in the end of the list, we have three female candidates. I would like to express that the support for seven candidates moving forward, and I would ask the group to consider gender balance in the top three candidates. And of the seven moving forward, we will leave two female candidates out. So that's one more reason to change that. And yes, so I guess this would be the suggestion I would make, and I think we have to look into that because of the seven we're sending five males and two females. That would be my observation. Thanks
Renata, and that is a good point. I mean, I always think we need to balance out the gender diversity. And Lori?
Yes, I have a few thoughts. On one hand, I agree with Renata, but on the other, we want to put forward the most qualified candidates. And my guess is, like most people who reviewed this yesterday or the last few days, is we were gender blind. I didn't actually hate gender at all. I just looked at what people wrote and thought about what needed to be done and ranked. And I wish this were a perfect world and that would work out that there is gender balance, but it didn't. So I think we at least should talk about that a little bit, about ranking people, unless, people said, well, when I ranked, I actually did consider gender balance in my rankings. That would be one thing, but I can tell you that as one of the respondents, I did not. That being said, I also wanted to discuss a little bit about the candidate who has fallen consistently to the bottom, Shirley Lynn. Because when I read her application, it was clear she's not a embedded GNSO ICANN insider. She's somebody that appears to me anyway that does a lot of EVRP work, may have a practice that's very relevant to the work of ICANN, but in fact is not inside part of the organization. And so the way some of these questions were asked, It could actually work against her, because in terms of her knowledge of GSO or other reviews that she may be on, et cetera, although I do think that the skill sets as described were generally pretty balanced without necessarily being too ICANN heavy. But would there be a benefit for regional diversity issues in Asia, as well as gender diversity, and maybe even outlook diversity, to look at some of these lower-ranked candidates and look at why they rank lower? Is it because we feel they really can't do the job? Or are the results front-loaded because we know the other people better? And is that fair?
And actually, Lori, if you don't mind me responding directly to you on this, I absolutely agree with that. And that was something I tried to look at. Shirley Lynn, I was really impressed with her application and thought that it could provide a perspective that may not exist in ICANN. I think there's a absolutely value to having some of the members on a review team very well inserted in ICANN and understanding the ropes. But it, you know, if one of the complaints you hear across the ICANN community is there's not enough people to do the work. But if we don't let newcomers come in and sort of learn those ropes, then we're not going to build a larger community to support the ICANN initiatives. And, you know, in my own personal experience, you know, I was somewhat active in ICANN before I applied for the Who Is Review Team, the first one. But out of that, I learned so much. And I think I contributed quite a bit on the Who Is Review Team and was able to come up to speed on a lot of different issues because of that invaluable experience. So I think we need to balance very knowledgeable candidates, knowledgeable about ICANN, but also bring in others that are willing and able to learn quickly and come up to speed and have an opportunity to participate. And that was, you know, Adetolo is a BC member, but he came through the fellowship program. And he's, you know, and obviously I voted for Adetolo in this instance, but or ranked him high. But Adetolo, you know, is very eager to join more and do more work and has shown that through, you know, he was a fellow and he came back and has been participating in the mentoring program to mentor new fellows, has reached out to ask other, you know, sort of ICANN ingrained people to mentor him. So I think we have an opportunity to grow, help put some of the candidates on these teams to help grow a diverse community to support all the work. So those are sort of my personal opinions. Renata.
Hi. Yes, I would just answer to my observation on gender balances. Laurie also observed, I did not factor in gender balance when I was doing my ranking or my voting, but I do think we need to think of this now because it's less than a third. If we send the top seven, we would be sending, again, 5 males and 2 females, so that's double the number of males, and this is quite impressive, I think. On the composition and on who are we sending, I think it's important that we have candidates that come with a knowledge of their constituencies, of the stakeholder groups they belong to, and have even received comments of endorsement. So the list seems pretty good to me. I would really just make this change of putting on the top three gender balance. And I understand Julian and Shirley did their application. Their application could be better, but I think this is also that needs to be addressed on a bigger picture. The process of call of volunteers and applying to working groups. I am also less than 5 years in ICANN, and I still really have to ask a lot of people before applying to things and filling forms. So, yes, their application could be better, and maybe they would have ranked better. But I do not think this is something we should factor in now in this election. I do think that we can note, perhaps, from SCC to the groups that, again, this call should be widely spread and the applications widely discussed. I would also note Erica Verlisi, not an insider on ICANN, but the way she described her community, the WordPress community, which is also a community I'm a part of, developers and so on all over the world, related to a blogging tool that became a website, content managed tool. She has the characteristics for a review team, attachment to transparency and openness. So I think that's why she is better ranked than Julian and Shirley, even though her application as well and her knowledge of ICANN is not as evident as the other candidates. So once more, I think we should send a 7. I think we should think about gender balance. I wouldn't change much on the list. And I think we just have to note to our constituencies and stakeholder groups to pay more attention to the volunteer calls and to guide people on how to fill them. Because even if they are not in the constituency and stakeholder groups, they know people there are. And I also know Adetole, and I also think that he has been a great fellow. But I do think that he is learning, so that's probably why. Also, again, this could have been a better application, but I agree with the ranking. Thanks.
That's just a really good point, Renata. And so before we go to Lori, is your recommendation that we, right now we have Brian Cutie, or Cute, I never know how to say his name, Wolfgang, sorry about that, and Stefan. You think we should? Whoa!
Yeah, my apologies. That's another phone.
No problem, Lori. No problem, Lori. Do you think that we should move Erica, or is it Tatiana? Is that I need to increase my screen size here to be able to see that we should move one of those up? And do we look at balance between the constituencies or stakeholder groups too? So Lori, did you have?
Yeah, hi, just to add to the balance confusion, I just want to point out too that the two lowest ranked are also from Asia, and I don't believe we have any others from Asia. So if we're looking at regional diversity, Adetola from Africa, we have two from Asia. We have the gender diversity goal and the regional diversity goal, and as well as constituency diversity. So with all these different factors and a few number of candidates, it does make it challenging, but I did want to point that out, that that's a concern too, that if we decide to do as many as 7, that the two we're leaving out are both from Asia, I'd almost rather do 6 and do 3 men and 3 women and leave a third out. Since we have sort of the clear three, the top three, and then the other three we can fill in for diversity, might be an easier way to, not easier, but more justifiable way of doing it, an even number with even amounts of men and women. And to the extent that we can mix up the stakeholder groups, we do that. But that we look, and then we'd have to prioritize the diversity. So gender, if we agree that gender diversity is number 1 and perhaps constituency diversity is number 2 and regional is number 3, otherwise it's going to be, I think, extremely difficult.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Adetola is our only African geodiversity candidate. We have, it doesn't look like we have any from South Africa. So, and Renata is saying, you know, of the 3 women who applied, we should send 1. And Maxim, I'm confused on which candidate had the registry and registrar support. Was that Stefan or Brian? Like everybody's typing, so no, the council. Yeah, I would agree that the council needs, we need to give top 3. Oh, so Brian and Stefan. But also, I mean, that there's 3 spots, there's 4 stakeholder groups, so you know, are we, because they have the support of I guess if they have the support of the registrars too. And Renata, your point of we asked for inclusion of a fourth before, but that to follow the process is we're only guaranteed the top three, and then the reason for giving the other four, adding seven, you know, for a total of seven, is in the hopes that the GNSO chair, James, right now, would be able to convince others, SOs and ACs, if they were not filling their spots, to then allow GNSO candidates into those spots. And he was able to do that one time, but I don't think that's a reasonable expectation to send that to him all the time. Yeah, I agree with Jules. So, do we need another poll? Obviously we don't have all the members on the call, so we would need to do something on, you know, via email to discuss, you know, to come up with the top three and then the other four. Renata's question, are we not sending the seven? Lori's recommendation was we only do six. I think it was Lori. But I think we should send seven. But we need to rank the first three, or at least say these are the top three candidates. And I don't think we've come – and seven is optional, Lori. It's just the way we sort of decided to do it early on doesn't mean we can't change that. So does anybody else have Renata has been very clear that we should move a woman up to the top three. There's some reasons for respecting geographical diversity also. Does anybody have a thought on who those top three should be, just based on what we're seeing in the poll? Okay, and we could always ask the fourth, I guess. Lori and Renata are agreeing. So, Renata, when you say send the top three, are you saying Brian, Wolfgang, and Stefan?
Sorry, I just got back to the mic. It's faster. Renata here. Yes, if we don't change the order, I think we should make we should really make the point to GNSO that we had less than a third women apply, and that we have a fourth candidate almost as well ranked as the third. So that would be the comment.
Okay. And Marika.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. This is Marika. I just want to reiterate what I think I already said in the chat as well, that the fourth candidate, I think last time around, it was kind of a last-minute compromise. I think at the council level, they weren't too happy about it because, of course, it was indeed a big question mark and a big ask for James to convince the other SO and AC chairs that, you know, the GNSO needed to have four slots. And, you know, from those discussions, I know that not everyone was happy with it. There was some resistance, but, you know, James did manage to convince them. And I think in the case of the RDS review team, there was also a specific case to make that, you know, that is a very GNSO-focused topic. I think in this case, and again, you know, speaking personally, I don't have a crystal ball, and I think it would be very difficult for the GNSO to get that fourth candidate a seat. it's likely that many of the other groups will either fill their slots or that at least a sufficient number of candidates will be provided that there may not be a need for further diversity or balancing. So I think you really need to give due consideration to indeed focusing on who's your top three. And then, of course, you can still indeed then rank the alternates because, as we've seen, there may always be people that drop out or are no longer available or maybe there is a need to provide additional diversity. But I think you really it's probably very rare that the same thing will happen as with the previous review team. So I just want you to be aware of that and as such, really have your focus on the top three and indeed decide, what is the most important in that top three. Is that indeed how they meet the criteria and requirements? Is it the diversity of gender or region? Is it their knowledge and affinity with the GNSO? And again, it's probably a balancing act, but that's probably something where you'll need to decide. And of course, from a staff perspective, we're happy to run another poll or see how we can facilitate this. But at the end of the day, a lot of the information is of course already here. I don't know it's otherwise helpful to remind everyone again as well of indeed geographic regions affiliation. Again, as said, we shared with you as well previous appointments, so you can also see the balance in that regard. And there's of course also the staff assessment that was carried out by our colleagues who also looked at all the applications and also made an assessment on whether someone met all the criteria. And most of the criteria, only some of the criteria, again, that may also help you in making a decision.
Okay, those are all good points. And I agree that actually trying to push for that fourth seat is we may be just hitting our head against a wall. In the chat, there's been a couple, someone, and I'm not following the chat completely, but somebody had mentioned maybe we should just figure out who the seven candidates are, remove two, so then we just know, okay, all of these will be sent, but we don't know who the top three are, or should we flip it around and focus on the top three and then fill in the other four? Lori's saying, I say choose seven and then rank. Do we want to follow the poll? If we look at the poll results here, then Julian and Shirley Lim would be out. And neither of them have a GNSO affiliation, because they don't have that affiliation, then, maybe that's a strong reason. And Renata, I don't know if because she's Russian, but she lives in the EU counts. So does anybody oppose removing Julian and Shirley Lim? From the list. Several people are typing. It is a tough. And Renata's suggesting we move Tatiana up to third in this list and Stefan down to fourth. And Tatiana's affiliation is the NCUC. So that would give us two NCUC candidates and one registry candidate. I don't have the document in front of me, Marika, on the previous. I feel like we may have left off NCUC before.
This is Marika. I think it's actually, and I'm guessing Amelie's pulling up, I think actually the registries haven't had a candidate in previous review teams for a while. And you can see it up here on the document that's up on the screen. So the NCSG actually in the previous one, so they in total have had two appointees. CSG has had two appointees. The registrars have one, or some may argue as well, that they, you know, they had two, but that one person resigned, and actually the registries haven't had any appointees in previous rounds. And again, I think here, of course, one thing you do need to consider that is not necessarily that, you know, the registry candidates didn't get selected. In certain cases, it may also be the case that there just was no one from a particular stakeholder group. You know, in this case, there's no one that's affiliated with the registrars. So again, I don't recall, and in the previous two, maybe there were registry candidates that just didn't get selected, but I think you also need to factor in that in certain cases, it may also just be the case that there was no one from that specific group.
Right.
And to Maxime's question, there's actually a provision in the charter, which is also posted here at the bottom of this of this page, where basically outlines that there's the SSC is encouraged to employ a system of rotation to make sure that any stakeholder group with nominated candidates for a review team but didn't get selected shall be preferred as a qualified applicant from the stakeholder group for one of those three guaranteed slots for the next review team appointment process. So it's something that's strongly encouraged. You're not required to, but it may be something to factor in. But in this case, it does look like you at least will have one or maybe two registry candidates potentially in the top three. So it does seem that we're not too far off in that regard with balancing.
Okay. So thank you for clearing up my lack of memory on that, because I knew we had one underrepresented stakeholder group. I just couldn't remember which one it was. So it looks like Osvaldo says he doesn't support modifying the order of the poll. And can we flip back to the poll results again that we had up before? So if you're looking at the last page again, that's the one I've been looking at least. Is, you know, so if we go simply on, because everybody filled out this poll, and if we go simply by this, then, and I'm not suggesting another poll, but maybe confirmation by email that we adhere to the results as they're shown here on the, on second to the last page. I don't know if there's a page number. Page 9. And so it would be Brian, Wolfgang, Stefan, Tatiana, Michael, Adetola, and Erica. That we'd be dropping Julian and Shirley, but then just expressing concern about gender diversity and geographical diversity. But that, you know, and I think Renata put that very well at one point of, you know, the SGs need to work with their stakeholder groups to really emphasize the need for candidates and a well prepared application, because it's, you know, it is what we're going on. So I think Yulf is expressing support of that. So can we prepare an email to go out and to the, you know, to the whole group and everyone sign off on the list and the ranking? anybody violently oppose that? Okay, so it looks like Renata agrees. We can express a wish for the fourth seat, but I don't think we can demand. I mean, there's just no way that, I mean, this is part of the way this was all set up, the bylaws, is that we can, you know, we have a guaranteed three seats. We don't have a guaranteed four seats. And then, yeah, then we should highlight that. And so, you know, maybe, Renata, we can think about the GNSO Council sending out some sort of advisory. I don't know if this would work, Marika, but, you know, saying, you know, obviously it's a problem with workload balance, but if more of the SGs encouraged their members to apply, I know the BC does. And that, you know, that we're not getting the diversity, gender, nor geo diversity that we would like to see in the candidates. So maybe we can just be proactive. I can bring that up at the next GNSO Council meeting, too. I'm just making some notes here. Okay. Yes, we can also include that. So before we send out an email, I'll work with staff, with Marika and Emily, to make sure that the discussion was captured and that, you know, that we need more women, more diversity, and that, you know, those on the call agreed that it should be in this order. And but, you know, we were going to emphasize to the GNSO Council that, you know, we would like to see additional candidates in the future. Perfect on the draft motion. So. Okay. So I think we've sort of come to somewhat of a conclusion on that. We need the input of the other members, and we'll hopefully get that through the through email. And then Maxim just brought up the GAC liaison. Do we have any idea on who is that? Do we have any applications filed yet? So, are those applications public on the application page, Marika? Oh, you're saying none have been submitted so far. That's not a good.
Correct, Susan. And actually, I would need to check back because, of course, previous selections for that role were actually done by the GNSO leadership team. So I'm thinking that at that stage it was actually done by the leadership team. They would get the applications. They did an evaluation, but I think the applications were kept confidential. I think for this one, we've actually made clear that it would be published unless someone would specifically ask that it wouldn't be shared. So as we receive applications, we will post them on the page on the wiki where we usually collect all the information related to your selections and nominations. I see Renata's question, was there ever a GAC liaison, a non-ex council? Well, we've actually only had two liaisons so far, and both were actually ex-council members, as the job description does indicate that, you know, there is a clear preference for someone that has very intimate knowledge and experience with GNSO Council affairs for this role. So as a result, I believe in those two cases, it did result in the appointment of an ex-council member. And Susan, there are a number of questions in the chat of people that are considering presenting their applications and whether they should abandon this call. So I'll leave that to you to You're welcome.
I don't know. Thanks a lot. I don't think you need to drop off. I mean, we were just going to give an update on it. I don't know that I would encourage you both, Osvaldo and Yul, to apply. But at this point, until we have applications, you know, we don't have anything else to discuss about the GAC liaison that would impact your application. And Maxim, you have your hand up.
It's Maxim Ozova. I just wanted to say that given that 2 days left, we could expect more than two candidates because, most probably one from the registries, who knows. But still, I support the idea of both Jules and Osvaldo going for this position because, after all, two is better than one.
Oh, okay. I agree too. Renata was also saying she'd apply for gender balance, which would be great. You have to be put forward by the SGCs. So individuals can't apply. I'd missed that point or knew it at one time and forgotten. So if we have no applications, and Renata, I absolutely encourage you to apply or to talk to your constituency or SG. Have we sent any reminders or updates on the GAC liaison position to the stakeholder groups? Okay, so lots of reminders going on.
Yeah, and this is Marika. One thing to note there is that I think we usually send them to the leadership teams of the stakeholder groups and constituencies with the assumption that it's being distributed. So if any of you have not seen that announcement, please let, either get in touch with your leadership team or, let me know and I can forward you the announcement that has been sent because, our assumption is, of course, that it's widely circulated and as a result, applications will come in. But indeed, sometimes messages do get lost in people's inboxes. So if you didn't see it, let me know.
Okay, so Osvaldo's seen it. I'll check the BC. I've sort of been out of pocket on vacation. And didn't you just say you were applying for the NCUC? So maybe they're your leadership team? That's what I'm wondering. You might ask them to put you forward, and Osvaldo, obviously, your constituency. I'll ping the BC and the IPC. But I think, actually, we could have three good candidates right out of this pool. Okay. Oh, Maxim, I'm sorry. I missed your hand. Go ahead.
Maxim Alzobo, for the record. Do we know if the constituency has to support its members only, or is it possible that constituencies support a particular individual as a constituency?
Okay, so Marika responded they can put forward anyone they want to support. So there's no requirement.
Then I do not think that Yulf is not going to be supported. because when during the registries constituency call, I was under impression that most probably you could have work of registries. Thanks.
Okay.
But I need to have a conversation with ex-comov, RYSG. No, yeah, I understand that you heard nothing. And, because it's like preliminary thinking, hypothetical.
Okay. All right, so I would urge everybody to go back to the constituencies, too, and to urge nominations. Okay, so the next, we should probably, should we have a call next week, Marika, or 2 weeks from now, if we can do everything by email on the ATRT3?
Maybe we could schedule a meeting next week and the week after, so we keep a placeholder meeting for the 13th, although actually, and I need to now look back, and I don't know if Emily actually has the timeline. Ah, there it is on the screen. So we have a bit of time for the GAC liaison selection, but it may be helpful to at least schedule a call for next week so we have a placeholder to iron out any issues that may still exist on the ATRT
okay.
applications, and also then maybe otherwise give you an update on where things stand with the GAC liaison. But to really start discussing that, people probably will need a bit more time to review any applications that have come in, and you may as well want to have a poll of some kind first before having a meeting. But maybe we just pencil it in for next week, and then depending on the response we get on the mailing list for those that weren't able to attend the meeting on the proposed way forward on the ATRT3, you then may want to decide whether or not to go ahead with that call.
Okay. All right. So we already have a call on the calendar for for September 13th, you said, right? Let's make sure we keep that one. And then was there any other business? Oh, Maxim, you have your hand up. Or maybe you don't. And Emily's asking if this is a good time slot. I know earlier she said this is what the doodle poll came up with as the best time slot. Does anybody want to change? Several people are typing. Yulp's okay with him. So Lori's asking, because it does conflict with the RPM call, if we could start a half hour later. And Maxim. So Emily, would you mind? Okay, so you have a meeting, Yulp. There's just way too many ICANN calls. Could we just do a quick doodle poll again to say, yes. Okay. Is there any other action that we need to, or discussion we need to have today? If no one has anything, I think we can. Whoop, Renata.
Renata? Yes, I think it would be good to answer the previous question. If people apply for the GAC liaison, which meetings can they participate, which can they cannot? And also, do we have any other process? So just asking for information. Thank you.
So, I wasn't quite you were asking if the GAC liaison can go to all the GAC meetings. Was that the
No, if people are going to apply for GAC liaison, do they participate on the next meeting or not? And what are other processes or work that we have moving forward in our group? If we don't have that answer now, it's okay. We can follow up on the list.
So if you've actually applied for a position and we would be considering your application, I think you would need to recuse yourself from the deliberations on candidates. That's what I did on the RDS. I didn't participate. So we could always, once we see the applications, we could always make sure that happens. I don't think, once we get through the GAC liaison and the ATRT3, Marika, I don't think we have anything else lined up for a while, do we?
Yeah, this is Marika, and I just posted in the chat as well, and then it's probably the right moment for a review of the charter, because that was one of the asks of the CSO Council, because they adopted the charter on a preliminary basis. So then you're expected to conduct a review of you know, how the charter has helped you or not helped you in doing your work, and staff will be working on putting together some materials that may help you carry out that review and put forward any recommendations coming out of that to the GNSO Council.
Right, and I had forgotten about that. It was on my list, but I
yeah, and Emily makes a good point as well. There's also the standard process document, which I believe has been circulated. That would be good as well to probably finalize at some point and have that available on the wiki as a standard way in which the SSC normally conducts appointments.
Okay, so since that one, the standard process document was circulated, if people have time, please read that again and provide any edits or concerns, and maybe we can add that to the agenda for next week to start a discussion of that, and then maybe follow with the charter on top of that. All right. A lot of good work going on, and thank you so much for all the participation. We'll get an email out to the whole committee and see if we can come to agreement on the ATRT3 candidates. Thanks all. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good night.
Bye.